Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you for a wonderful day that we've had today, oh Lord God.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit's been working, Lord, and two folks got saved today, Lord.
Amen.
They have come into your kingdom, oh Lord God, and all the glory goes to you, Father.
Amen.
For what your Son has done on the cross for us, shedding his blood, I pray these two people would grow in the Lord.
That's right.
We help to disciple them, Lord, that they would learn your holy word, Lord, and grow each and every day, Lord. And they would bear fruit to others, Lord. What a wonderful thing that would be. Oh, all the glory and honor for Jesus only, Lord, for what he has done for us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for our dear pastor. He comes in here, oh Lord God, waiting to preach your word boldly. Oh, we thank him for that, oh Lord God, that you have allowed him to still come here, oh Lord. We ask you to give him many, many more days, Lord. Oh, Lord, that we get to hear him preach and teach, dividing the word rightly, Lord, the truth. Lord, we just thank you for each and every one that's come here this evening, Lord. May their needs be met through your holy word, oh Lord God. And those who could not come because of sickness or whatever, you would heal them up, Lord. Bring them back to us, oh Lord God. Father, for all you do here, that we uplift your Son, we'll do it all in his name and for his glory. Amen.
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 All right. Well, this next song talks a lot about what we just saw in these two folks that came forward this morning. 796, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul.
friends, he will be here with us. He'll be preaching the word all day. And then we'll have another Sunday of your old preacher preaching to you. And then William Jeffcoat will be here on the 12th. He'll be preaching the word of God. I always like his preaching. Looking forward to him coming. Him and his wife. And he'll sing for us. Looking forward to that. Let's be faithful to giving to the work of the Lord by way of our offerings. The way we take our offering here is there's a box in the back on that side over there. And before and after the service, as the Lord leads you to give, you just place your money in there before and after the service. That's the way we take the offering. And that's the way we've always taken the offering. And so as God prospers you and gives you money and a job or whatever, you put a portion of that in there, and then the church can take care of what it needs. So that's how we do it. And let's see what else is going on. Yes, this morning two people trusted the Lord as their personal Savior. And what a blessing it was to see them both and to do that. And, they said the sinner's prayer. I led them through the sinner's prayer. They're very young and untaught, I guess you could say. So they just didn't know what to do. And I said, so if you just pray after me, but you got to believe it. You got to mean it. You can't just say words that I'm saying. You better believe it in your heart. Otherwise, it's of no value at all. So when they were done, I asked the gentleman, and I said, oh, if you died right now, where would you be? Heaven, I hope. I said, no, 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 no. Just like that. No, 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 that won't do. It won't do. You can't just hope. You've got to know. And his wife said, you've got to know. So it was good to have that input from the other side there. And so in discussing it and so forth, anchored them on, it's because of what the Bible says. And you can trust the Bible. It says, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Does the Bible say that? He says, it sure does. I said, well, then that's what you've got to believe in. So now let me ask you again. He says, I'm going to heaven. So, amen. That's a wonderful thing. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Oh, boy. So you just got to pray that it's real, you know. You just got to pray that it's real. And it's not just us, but that it's the Holy Spirit of God working in their hearts and lives to bring them to salvation. He says, I've been a Catholic all my life, and when I went to Catholic Church, they told us you had to keep the Ten Commandments. Well, that's what I was preaching on, wasn't it? He said, that's the first time I ever heard anybody say you don't have to keep the Ten Commandments to get into heaven. I said, well, that's the truth. You can't keep it. And kind of kept on teaching a little bit more there. And, so, amen. It's a wonderful thing. So you just keep praying for them that it will be real and that they'll show up here and start reading their Bible. We gave them a free Bible. You know, our visitors get a... Hey, our visitor, did he get a packet yet, Jim? Let's get him a packet. Inside there's a coupon for a free King James Bible. So fill that out there, sir. It came with Carl Bush. We'll forgive you for that. All right. All right. Good to have you here, sir. And I hope you have a good time here with us. Dave?
That's his son.
Is that right? Oh, man. Carl, you're getting old. Yeah. Oh, man. It's such a blessing to have Carl back here, and now even more of a blessing with his son.
Amen.
Amen. That's good. Well, thank you for telling me that there, Dave. And what's your name?
Robert.
Okay, good. Robert, good to have you here tonight. All right, Ralph, let's continue on.
Okay. Let's turn the page and we'll sing 798, Surely Goodness and Mercy. next week we'll be starting a new passage in Psalm 1, but for this week we're still on Psalm 19. All right, so we'll say Psalm 19, 1 through 6 together one more time. All right, Wednesday as well. Okay, here we go, Psalm 19, 1 through 6. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all of the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from the heat thereof. Okay. Our last song then, before the special one, the message, is 801.
Thank you. could count the tears that have fallen, it would seem like an ocean to me. And if my heart were a window you could look through, oh, the pain and the scars.
Would. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Wreaths of death will not. What, Jason? How does that go?
A wreath of death on my mansion door.
No wreath of death on my mansion door. Wasn't that song? Yep. And boy, that's old fashioned. They would put wreaths of death on the door. Sometimes they would put a black cloth on the door to indicate someone just passed away in that house. And I'm not too sure that we're better off not doing that. I think it'd be better off if we would see some scenes like that. It might make some people think about eternity and about the need to get ready for eternity. Everything is so sanitized these days. You know, you die and off you go into an emergency vehicle, and they rush you off to the coroner office, and then the coroner to the funeral director, and then he paints you all up, looks nice and everything. And really, death doesn't seem to meet people face to face. And thus, they never really get ready for the most important day in their life, and that is the day when they leave this world and go to be with the Lord. But we're going to talk about the possibility here in this passage of Scripture of not having to die at all and yet still go to heaven. How about that? All right, let's take a look at it. Here we go, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13. That's where we are in our verse-by-verse study. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, that means or go ahead of, them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The rapture of the church. The need here for the proper instruction concerning the dead is given to us in verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant. So this is a new revelation that is given to us here. Look at verse 15a. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So this is a new revelation. And he doesn't want you to be ignorant about this. About what? About those who die. I don't want you to be without knowledge. And he says there are those who are Christians who have trusted the Lord as their Savior, but they're asleep. Now, this refers to the body, death of a Christian. A common term to describe the death of the saints is they are asleep in Jesus, all right? They're just asleep in Jesus, waiting for Jesus to come back and do something really great. For only their body dies and their soul goes to be with the Lord to wait the resurrection of the body. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8. It says this, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be what? Present with the Lord. So when a Christian dies, oh yes, we put his body in the grave, and but your soul and spirit goes to be with the Lord. Your soul and spirit, of course, is that part of you that thinks. And that part of you that thinks is going to go and be with the Lord. And it's going to await the resurrection day. Now, There is no such doctrine as soul sleep, or meaning that you go to sleep, your whole body, soul, and spirit sleeps in the ground, and you stay in the ground until a resurrection day someday. No, no, no. The Bible says when you die as a Christian, you immediately find yourself in the presence of the Lord. We tenderly will take care of your body, do the whole thing that everybody does, a casket, and put it in a vault and put dirt on it and visit it every once in a while. And that body awaits the resurrection. But your soul and spirit is definitely alive and well and going to be with the Lord. And it says there in verse 15, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not." It's not a prohibition against crying, but an exhortation to sorrow differently from the way the lost sorrow when somebody dies. The lost have no hope beyond the grave. They go to the funeral home and they look at that body and they say, "I wonder where they're at. I don't know. I don't know where they're at." But when you go to the funeral of a Christian, yes, it's okay to cry. I mean, you're going to miss the person, okay? You definitely are going to be upset and sorrowing over losing somebody for a while. But you don't stand there hopeless and say, "We wonder where they're at." You know where they're at. According to the Bible, they are with the Lord. And the relation of the dead to the returning Christ. Look at verse 14 and 15. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again..." Let me ask, how many of you here believe that Jesus died and rose again? Raise your hand. All right. Okay. Amen. So do I. All right. He died and he rose again. It goes on and says, "Even so them also which sleep in Jesus." So those who are saved and they have died and they're asleep in Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus, that God will, no wait, how does it go? "Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." So here we have a beautiful promise here, the relation of the dead to the returning Christ. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back at any moment. When he comes back, he will bring with him all those believers who have already died in Christ. And when I say in Christ, because they've trusted Jesus Christ before they passed away. And so they are in Christ. And the basis of the relationship is the gospel message, like right there in verse 14. If we believe that Jesus died, rose again, and we do believe in the death, burial, resurrection, you notice how crucial the doctrine of the resurrection is. It is absolutely crucial to you and I having any hope beyond the grave. If Jesus didn't rise up from the grave, then neither are you going to rise up from the grave. But if he did, then you will also, because you are in Jesus Christ. And it says he will bring the dead with him when he comes. So what's he going to do? The dead in Christ will be brought with him. And the living in Christ, when this happens. And by the way, what we're studying here is what is referred to as the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church, meaning that the day is coming when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to descend from heaven and he's going to bring with him all those who have been saved but who have died. He's going to bring their soul and spirit together with him raise their body, their physical body, out of the grave that we tenderly put them into, okay? Raise them up, the body out of that grave, unite it back together with the soul and spirit, and they are going to return with the Lord. And the living will not precede the dead in Christ. And this is a beautiful promise because the believers were concerned. Well, if the Lord comes back, what about all the believers who have already died? Will they be okay? Will they be raised up from the grave? I hear that Jesus is coming to raise up all of us who are saved during this church age to be with him. I know that. What about if you die before he comes back? He makes a beautiful promise here and says, I'm bringing them with me first, and they will rise up first out of the grave. And we'll see this here in the next verses. For this we say unto you, verse 15, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go ahead of them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And here it is. And the dead in Christ shall rise, what?
First.
So they're going to be brought back with the Lord. That has reference to the soul and spirit part of them. And then he's going to reunite the soul and spirit with the body, which is in the ground. He's going to raise it up out of the ground. And he's going to do that before he catches up all the rest of the church believers to be with them in heaven. And so the manner and results of Christ's coming, we see here in verse 16. And let the verse part, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And there's going to be a voice of the archangel and the trump of God. There's going to be a lot of noise. I don't believe the world's going to hear it at all. I believe it's only the saved who are going to hear it, and they're going to respond to it. And of course, they had a concern. How about the dead? Don't worry, I'll take care of them first, the Lord says. I'll take care of them first. How many of you have someone that you know is saved, but they've passed on, they're dead, and they're in the grave, their body is in the grave right now? Raise your hand. You have somebody, you know somebody like that. Okay, well, what about them? They're going to go first. They're going to be raised up first. So don't worry. Don't worry a bit about it. The Lord has promised that they will be taken up out of the ground and reunited. And the manner of the Lord's coming is going to be very similar to, look at Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. Now the Lord here, he already died on the cross. He was buried. He rose up from the grave. He's appeared unto his disciples, and he tells them that they're to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Ghost to come upon them. And then while he talks like that to them, verse 9 says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he, that's Jesus, was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, who's the they? The disciples. They were gathered around the Lord. And here he is on the Mount of Olives. And he's getting ready to go back home to heaven where his Father is. And it says here, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. I believe these two men are actually angels who took on the appearance of men. And they have a message for the disciples, verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, amen, this same Jesus. So, by the way, I believe that Jesus bodily died on the cross, was buried, and rose up from the grave bodily. This same Jesus that they were able to touch, handle, and see after he rose up from the grave. I mean, he said, here, handle my feet and my hands and feet. For you see, a ghost does not have bone and flesh like I have. I'm a real live human being. Touch me and see. And this same Jesus, these angels said to them, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Wow. You know what? We're going to see what the disciples saw. They stood there and watched their Savior descend right out of their fellowship, I guess you could say, right out of their communion and right on up into heaven. And there they are like this, you know, looking right up into heaven, gazing. It says gazing up into heaven. And these angels said unto them, as you've seen him go, he's coming back. Now, this return is not the same as the return of the Lord when he comes back in his second coming to judge the world. It's not the same. When he comes back to judge the world, he's coming back in glory, and he's going to come back in power, and he's going to come back in anger because he is going to judge this world and the wicked of this world and cleanse this world and then set up his own kingdom here on this earth. And he's coming down to the ground to do that. This, he's only coming in the clouds. Just as you saw him go, this is how he's coming back. John chapter 14, verse 1, familiar passage of scripture. And the Lord tells us he's coming back for his own here. John 14, verses 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. How many of you believe in God? Raise your hand. Okay. Believe also in me. The me there is Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jason just sung about the mansions, about no death wreath on my mansion door up there in heaven. And Jesus is making a mansion for each one of you who know him as Savior. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And here's one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by what? Me, Jesus Christ. Coming back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17, the accompanying sounds, the shout, the voice of an archangel, the trump of God, all these things are going to take place when Jesus comes back. And the result of his coming is found in 16 and 17. Look at the results here. The dead shall be raised first. That's what it says at the end. And the dead in Christ shall be raised first. And then the living shall be caught up. That tells me, folks, that at any time this return of the Lord can take place. Why? Because look at verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. That tells me that whoever is writing this felt that he could very well be alive when this event takes place. Hey, you just have to read it for yourself and come to the conclusion that the writer of these words right here believed that it was possible that he could be alive walking around on this earth when the Lord comes back to take his own home to be with him. Well, the Apostle Paul wrote this like almost 2,000 years ago, okay? That's a long time ago. And Paul has died and he's been buried. And now he's on the flip side. He's on the side of those that will be raised first. And guess what? You and I are now in the place of the writer of this scripture, that you and I might be alive at this time when the Lord comes back. So we refer to this as the imminency of the rapture of the church. It could happen at any moment. At any time, this could take place. And this is not the second coming, like I mentioned before, but a meeting in the air. That's what this is, a meeting in the air. Notice 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, not down on the earth, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the, what does it say? Air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And in John chapter 14, 1 through 6, he said that I'm making a mansion for you and I'm coming to get you and you will be with me and I will be with you. And we're going to be together in heaven in that mansion that I'm building for you. Oh, we don't know how to do that. Thomas said, well, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. And that's how you can get on this side of going to be with the Lord. There's no tribulation here for the church. No tribulation. You know, I don't see anything that says anything like this. And just forgive me for being a little facetious, maybe, with the passage of Scripture here. It doesn't say anything like this. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And the Lord will spank his bride for not being so faithful as she should have been. And he's going to spank her and spank her and spank her. And when he feels that she has been spanked enough, then we will ever be with the Lord. No, there's no tribulation for the bride. I don't see any tribulation here. I see nothing but joy and happiness and comfort with the scriptures being mentioned here, folks. No tribulation. The believers shall ever be with the Lord, it says. And in verse 18, wherefore, what does it say?
Comfort.
Comfort one another with these words. The comfort in these words are just beyond our ability to grab a hold of and enjoy. But someday we will. Someday we will. And it's going to be a wonderful day. You know, this has got to be true. What is this passage of scripture here? This has got to be true. No one could dream this up. No one could dream this up. The Bible and its integrity, its credibility, for you and me to sit down and read it and actually say, I can believe everything in this book, depends upon whether these things are true or not. The Bible's complete integrity depends on the truthfulness of this passage of Scripture. And I believe that it's true. And the Apostle Paul wrote it down as he was led by the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And these words will abide forever. They cannot be changed. God up in heaven can't say, oops, I kind of made a little mistake in there about the rapture of the church. I really meant to say I'm going to come down and get you all, and then we're going to go through the tribulation. Some of you are going to have a hard time, and then we're going to go into kingdom making. No, no, no. He can't change it. It's there. It's going to stay there just like that forever. Even after we've been raptured, it's still going to stay there. And we can kind of go back and read. Let's read that passage about how we were raptured up. It will still be there, folks. It's not going away. It liveth and abideth forever. Yes, it will. And the passage we're learning in Psalm 19, that isn't going to change. And Genesis chapter 1 and all the way through chapter 11, which discusses origins and how we got here and everything, cannot be changed. Else God's a liar. No, nothing can be changed. Now the evolutionists can change their theories. And every year they change them. They got to get new textbooks for the kids all the time because they come up with new theories. But we get no new textbook from heaven. It's been given. And it will not change. And it will live and abide forever. And I can say this to you on your way out. You can trust in this for all eternity. It will take you all through eternity. That's a comfort I have, folks, as I deal with cancer and so forth. Each time I think about it, I just go and say to myself, God has promised me some great things in the Word of God, and so it doesn't matter. It don't matter. Whatever He wants for me, I'm okay with it, because His Word is true, and I am not worried one bit that somehow it's not going to be good for me. It will be good for me. It will be good for you. And so keep on keeping on. Keep your eyes on the book. And then how about this? Are you here tonight and not saved? Do you know the Lord is Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? If you don't, you need to trust Him tonight, right now, as your personal Savior. Why? Because He died on the cross for your sins. And He was in the grave for 3 days and three nights. And up from the grave He arose and conquered death, and He wants to give you everlasting life if you'll only take it. You got to believe and receive it by faith. And it will be yours for all eternity. Might you be here tonight, not saved, needing salvation? Why don't you right now, with every head bowed, everybody, with every head bowed and every eye closed, might you say in the quietness of your heart, Pastor Freeman, I am not ready for this event of the rapture. I have never trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I right now want to do that. I want you to help me to do that. And I will do that after the service. If you want to get saved, I'll be more than happy to help you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're here like that and need help along that line, would you just raise your hand up in the air? Let no one else will see. You just let me know. I'm looking. Would you, by the raising of your hand, just say, Preacher, I need to be saved. Here's my hand. Would you talk to me about this after the service? Anybody like that here tonight? Anyone here like that tonight? Oh, Father, we do thank You for offering salvation to whosoever will. And we also thank You for, once we're saved, promising to come and get us so that we can always be with You in heaven forever. We look forward to that. Help us as we go our way now to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with as many people as we can. Help us to take some gospel tracts. Help us to pray that people would come to know the Lord as their personal Savior and work in people's hearts. And even here at Ray Street Baptist Church, that You would save people from a certain hell unless they trust in Jesus Christ, who has a certain heaven awaiting for them, if they'll only believe, trust Him as their Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.